Imagine your database just split in two. Network partition. Half your nodes can't talk to the other half. What does your system do? Does it serve stale data, or does it refuse to answer at all? That choice, right there, is the heart of the CAP theorem. Welcome to Claude Talks. I'm Emma.
And I'm Ryan. And today we're going deep on CAP, one of those things every engineer has heard of, most think they understand, and surprisingly few have internalized correctly.
Let's start with the basics. CAP stands for Consistency, Availability, and Partition Tolerance. Eric Brewer proposed it as a conjecture in 2000, and Gilbert and Lynch proved it formally in 2002. The claim: a distributed system can only guarantee two of these three properties simultaneously.
But here's the thing, and this is where a lot of explanations go wrong: the partition tolerance is not optional. In any real distributed system, network partitions will happen. Machines crash. Switches fail. Cables get unplugged. So the real question is never, do we want partition tolerance? It's always, when a partition happens, do we prioritize consistency or availability?
Exactly. The pick two of three framing is misleading. In practice, you're always choosing between CP and AP. CA, consistent and available without partition tolerance, only exists if you have a single node system, which isn't really distributed at all.
Right. A traditional relational database running on one server? That's CA. It's consistent, it's available, but it has no distributed component, so partitions aren't on the table. The moment you add replication or clustering, you're back to the CP versus AP trade-off.
So let's make consistency concrete, because the word is doing a lot of work here. When CAP says consistency, it means linearizability, the strongest consistency model. Every read sees the most recent write, and operations appear to happen instantaneously in some global order.
That's distinct from things like eventual consistency or causal consistency, which are weaker models. Eventual consistency just says, given enough time with no new writes, all replicas will converge to the same value. But in the meantime, you might read stale data.
And that distinction matters enormously in practice. So let's walk through two real systems, Cassandra and Zookeeper, and trace exactly what happens during a network partition.
Start with Cassandra. It's a classic AP system. You have a cluster of, say, five nodes. A client sends a write. The coordinator node tries to replicate it to multiple nodes. Now, mid-write, a partition happens, three nodes are cut off from the other two. What does Cassandra do?
It keeps accepting writes on both sides of the partition. Nodes on each side record their own writes, possibly diverging. When the partition heals, Cassandra uses a mechanism called read repair and anti-entropy to reconcile the differences using last write win's semantics based on timestamps. So you always get availability, but during the partition, consistency is gone. Two clients could read different values for the same key.
Now contrast that with Zookeeper. It's a CP system, but powers service discovery and distributed coordination for systems like Kafka and Hadoop. During a partition, Zookeeper elects a leader using a quorum-based consensus protocol called ZAP. If a majority of nodes can't communicate, the system stops accepting writes entirely.
A client trying to write to a minority partition gets an error. The system refuses to proceed rather than risk inconsistency. So you lose availability in exchange for a guarantee that any successful write is durable and consistent.
And this is the key intuition. CP systems say, I'd rather go down than lie to you. AP systems say, I'll stay up even if my answer might be slightly wrong.
HBase is another CP example. It uses HDFS and relies on HDFS's strong consistency guarantees. During a region server failure or network issue, HBase will wait for the region to be reassigned before serving reads and writes for that key range. You might wait seconds or even minutes, but when you do get data, it's consistent.
Cassandra, on the other hand, is used for things like time series data, user activity tracking, IoT sensor readings, workloads where you can tolerate reading a slightly old value, but you absolutely cannot tolerate the database being unavailable.
Now, there's an important nuance Cassandra engineers know well. You can tune the consistency level per operation. If you read with quorum and write with quorum, you actually get strong consistency because the read and write sets overlap. But now your system looks more like CP. You've traded away some availability.
So even within a single system, the dial isn't fixed. You're making CP versus AP trade-offs at the operation level. That's a really powerful design choice, but it requires engineers to actually think about what they need per use case.
Now let's talk about something beyond CP PASELC. It's an extension proposed by Daniel Abadi in 2012. He pointed out that CAP only talks about what happens during a partition. But what about when there's no partition? There's still a trade-off. Latency versus consistency.
Right. Even when the network is healthy, a strongly consistent system has to do extra work. It needs to coordinate between replicas, wait for acknowledgements, run consensus rounds. That takes time. An eventually consistent system can return immediately because it just writes locally and propagates asynchronously.
PASELC stands for, if there's a partition, choose between availability and consistency. Else, when there's no partition, choose between latency and consistency. So systems are characterized along two axes, not one.
Cassandra under PASELC is PAEL, available during partitions, low latency otherwise. Zookeeper is PCEC, consistent during partitions, higher latency because of quorum coordination even in normal operation.
This is really useful framing for systems design. The partition trade-off matters for your fault model. The latency trade-off matters for your performance model. Both affect your choice of data store.
So let's land the practical takeaway for engineers. How do you actually pick a database?
First question. What are you actually storing? Financial transactions, inventory counts, user account balances. These require strong consistency. If two concurrent writes both decrement a bank balance, you need linearizability or you end up with negative funds.
For those use cases, use a CP system, PostgreSQL with synchronous replication, Google Spanner, CockroachDB, or HBase. Accept the latency. Accept the reduced availability window. It's worth it.
Second question. Can you tolerate eventual consistency? User sessions, product catalogs, social media feeds, event logs. These workloads are usually fine with slight staleness. For these, Cassandra, DynamoDB in eventually consistent mode, or RYAC work great and give you incredible write throughput and availability.
Third question. What are your latency requirements? If you need sub-millisecond responses, you probably can't afford quorum coordination. PASELC tells you that consistency costs latency even when the network is fine.
And fourth, what does your operations team know? A CP system that requires careful tuning and deep understanding of its failure modes might be worse in practice than a simpler, eventually consistent system, if your team keeps misconfiguring it.
There's also a fifth, often overlooked question, do you actually need distributed consistency or do you need domain-level invariance? Sometimes you can relax at the database layer and enforce business rules in application code with things like idempotency keys, optimistic concurrency, or compensating transactions.
Event sourcing and CQRS are built on this idea. You give up strict consistency in the DB layer and reconstruct consistent state through ordered event logs. Systems like Kafka enable exactly this pattern.
The big misconception to avoid is thinking CAP lets you off the hook. Engineers sometimes say, oh, we're AP, so consistency is someone else's problem. No. AP means you own the consistency model. You just implement it above the storage layer instead of below it.
CAP is a theorem about impossibility, not a menu of options. It tells you what you cannot have simultaneously. The rest, how you design your system, what consistency semantics you expose to users, how you handle conflicts, that's still your problem to solve.
And that's what makes distributed systems hard and fascinating. There's no free lunch. Every guarantee costs something. The best engineers know exactly what they're paying and why.
That's a wrap on CAP theorem. If you want to go deeper, Brewer's 2012 retrospective, CAP 12 years later, is worth reading. He revisits some of the oversimplifications in the original framing. And Abadi's PASELC paper is surprisingly readable for an academic piece.
Thanks for listening to Claude Talks. If this was useful, tell a distributed systems engineer you know. And if they already know all this, well, Now you can have a real conversation with them.
See you next episode.